So why am I announcing this? You can go back to Hawaii. The church will provide hamburgers, hot dogs, sausages, the bread that goes with all that, bottled water, blah, blah, blah. You bring something too, by the way. You know, potato salad or baked beans or something to go with the deal out here. And offer up a weather prayer. Don't want it like it was yesterday. Although I love the rain, we need it, but that's it. Jesus Christ controls the weather, by the way, and he controls history. And that's right down to the individual. This isn't just nice talk, because if he didn't, this whole thing would explode in a million directions. He's holding this all together. The Father has given him authority over all mankind. Now, he couldn't pull that off if he wasn't God. If he's just humanity, which he is, he couldn't pull that off. It takes deity to checkmate and to allow things to develop accordingly. So while history appears to people to be out of control and chaotic and all these maniacs running around and the worst ones are in high places, you know, because they have all this power and they set forth all these things. But this is a part of the prophetic scene of the last days. When there will be a ramping up of wars, rumors of wars. Now we're going to sit down and talk with the Koreans. You know, it's just this big scenario of stuff. Don't get wrapped up in this. Just don't. It's theater. It's a bunch of stuff going on and a bunch of maniacs that have control of nuclear weapons. But they don't. This country and history has come this close, more than one, this close to all-out nuclear war. And then you can kiss your know-what goodbye. Because that's it. But Jesus Christ controls history. And in two instances where nuclear war, one was the Cuban Missile Crisis, at least that was one of them. And one instance, it was a Russian officer that disobeyed orders. And the second case, it was an American that did not follow through on his orders. It did not seem right. It's documented. You probably go online and read about it. It's very interesting. Talk about a low-level officer, unsung hero, but really the hero is Jesus Christ. He controls history. He used this guy. He used that guy. He used an event to offset something that would have. We wouldn't be here talking today. We wouldn't be in this local church. We wouldn't have one. And these people talk about nuclear weapons and war like they were talking about, you know, the 4th of July and firecrackers. And I've watched this whole thing, and we first taught the doctrine of the United States in prophecy. It was 1976. A lot of you weren't even born yet. 1976. That was our 4th of July special. God's sense of humor. I'd let that body of information sit on my desk for I don't know how long. And one day I decided to prayerfully and seriously look at it. And I couldn't refute it. And I dropped it on my flock like a nuclear bomb. And I'm still here. They didn't lynch me. They didn't run me off. To their credit, they took it on the chin. Is a divine viewpoint. And it's irrefutable. So there's always, it's the U.S. in prophecy. We've got Russia, we got China, we got Israel, we got Egypt even. Is the U.S. in there? Wouldn't that be crazy if it wasn't? In this last days? The influence that we have all over the world? There'd be not even hardly a mention? Kind of a footnote in the Bible? No, big chapters. There are big chapters devoted exclusively to it. God hid it. He always hides the truth from those who are not diligent seekers. You don't want my truth? I'll just hide it from you. You treat me this way? You don't know. You don't learn the secrets of the kingdom of God. You're just out there with all this kind of weird stuff, running around. These people, why don't all these great prophecy students figure this one out? They do not know who the Antichrist is. Now it's Trump. There's a book. I didn't say that. I mean, I didn't say it as emphatic. I said, before him, it was Obama. You know, they had Hitler at one time, and Christians back in the day had it Napoleon. You know, they just go to the Bible. Maybe the key is there. And you find the one big passage, and then all the rest of this dovetails together. See, because there's always kind of like a marquee passage with a lot of things, with certain things. And the marquee passage is Revelation 17, which happens to be dealing with the demise of the Roman Catholic Church. The Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, and he has a short time to do his thing, but he does a lot in a short time. He has a short time. He has 7 years. That's a short. So the deal is, he's going to be politically incorrect to the max. And he doesn't give a flip what anyone thinks. And he's going to tell the whole world that he's going to ban, all religions are banned. All of them. It's no bumper stickers coexist. I know a complete liberal is in that car. But I'm judging. He will ban all religions. And the religion will be, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, whatever term he uses. And all faiths, the true faith that's on still always on the earth, and all the false stuff, it's worship me as God. And he's Alexander the Great, and it can be established in Revelation 17 in the midst of a passage dealing with, and he and the Lord have a singular purpose. They intersect. Everything else, and that is pillage, unthinkable. Pillage, tear down the Catholic Church, starting with St. Peter's Basilica and all the great cathedrals and all the places where the Catholics have squirreled away all this wealth. See, he's going to act like an ancient monarch of antiquity who went in and sacked all the temples of those kingdoms they overthrew, pulled out all the goodies, as a show of their dominance. You can read it in Revelation 17. Revelation 17 comes first in order because they were here first, I guess. And it's the demise of the Roman Catholic system. 18 is the U.S. You don't get from 18 that it's Russia that does it. It just says in 1 hour of one day, she will be burned with fire. And all of her goodies will be contaminated, and people will stand at a distance because of the fear of her burning. That's a perfect description of a land that has been made radioactive. You don't go near that. There will be no salvage. This country and after the rapture, those that are left behind, non-believers, Jews and Gentiles, they will get the whole world. An angel is going to evangelize the entire earth. And in every language and in every place, no matter how remote, everyone's going to hear the call to salvation. People are going to convert. Some are going to convert. And then there's going to be an announcement from heaven. And an angel is going to come down, which they'll call a UFO, and be visibly manifest, a good angel, not a bad angel. And that angel is going to pick up the Statue of Liberty with its base and do a hook shot in the Atlantic Ocean and make a speech. This is how Babylon's going down. So that American believers after the rapture will be told in the same announcement, in the same connection, to go back to the nation from whence their ancestors came, or you will be destroyed in this destruction. That's coming. there will be a reverse mass exodus of people from America after the rapture. It'll be interesting to see just how many will come to their senses and do that much. Because, you know, as someone who is a believer in time, you can only do what's in front of you. But you need direction. You don't just, you know, run around like a loose cannon and figure it out for yourself. You can get pieces and bits of anything. But to have the whole package and have the whole flow of it, you've got to be in a local church that is consistent and teaches correctly. You can't be bouncing around from one ministry to the next. Church hopping, TV surfing, internet surfing, whatever people do. You'll pick up some stuff and you'll pick up some diseases too. This appeals to me. Well, there's a lot of things that appeal to you that is not right. Anyway, and see, this is based on sound doctrine. Jesus taught in John 10 that you follow one shepherd at a time. If he goes south or dies, then you can find another one. Sheep are animals that in certain parts of the world, they hear the voice of their shepherd. They know these. They will not follow other people, not even people that have good intentions towards them. They won't follow them. It's like a one-person dog. It's sheep. Sheep have this thing, and the shepherds of back then, they just call them by name, and they all just come running out like you'd call your pet. And you follow one drummer at a time. In time. Not multiple teachers, because that's confusing. Even if all the multiple teachers were correct, and they're not, you follow one shepherd at a time. It's called right pastor, right congregation. It's like a marriage. You make your decision. I don't make it for you. I don't recruit people. People ask me what's going on here. I give them the same answer basically you do. Check it out. He said, go check it out. I was telling one person, a place I was doing business, I don't know, you're a pastor, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And that was, did you believe we're in the last days? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I started describing the Antichrist. The little girl started crying. I said, you don't have anything to be afraid of. You're a believer. You're not going to be here when that's here. You know, and where's your church? I said, well, you owe it to yourself just to go once. She never showed. Those people got better things to do. Better things than to get their crown, get answers, and figure stuff out, and escape the corruption that's in the world, and the stupidity and the insanity that's at every level. Insanity dwells in the hearts of all men. It's in the form of the sin nature. Why'd they do that crazy stuff? They're feeding off of their sin nature. That's why you, have done crazy stuff. Why some of you are doing stuff that's ill-advised. You're not listening. You're not listening to those that love you and care about you and give you the divine viewpoint. What if three or four people told you the same thing as the will of God, and they were independent of each other, and you just, I'm going down that road. Okay. Wake the hell up. There are people around here that can give you good counsel. And you should attach yourself to them. Listen to them prayerfully and go sit down and process it. Everything isn't going to be what you want to hear. Truth isn't always, you know, I get up here, I teach divine principles. Brenda rolls her eyes. Well, she lives with me. See, I have the test of having to get up here and hit my own self over the head. Why can you? You don't do that. You misapply in that area. Okay, you got me. But guess what? I got no one else is going to jump up here and do any better. They're going to have their problems and things to overcome. I just have to be in fellowship and teach it. It's always nice when I'm in complete compliance with it. I'm trying to think what that is. Okay, let's move on to Roman numeral 4 here. SG3 totally surpasses anything this present world has to offer, whether you get it by hook or crook. And people out there are striving to gain those that have been successful in the acquisition of this world's wealth and goods. They're not happy with that, are they? They got 100 million, they got to have a billion. They'll die trying. I really do think doctrine does help a lot of ways, because after a while that stuff gets old. More of the same. Caviar and Krug champagne again? Please. Can I have a Bud Light? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things, people talk about things which eye has not seen. That's the eye gate. Nobody's laid their eyes on it. Ear has not heard, reports of, and which have not entered into the heart or imagination of man. And some people have a real fruitful and vivid imagination. So they write science fiction, or they got this ability to write an elaborate story or tell about things. They got this imagination. Nobody can imagine what SG3 is. The best thinkers cannot come up with this. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. Did you notice that there's a key here? Love Him. You can't love someone. Anybody can make their mouth say anything. I love God. I love God. You know what proof of love is? Doing God's will. How hard's that? Jesus said it. Those who hear my words and do it, those are the ones who love me. And of course, it varies among us. I'm not doing that. And that could be critical and central to your Christian life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Then you're not exhibiting love for God on that occasion. Love of self, love of self-interest, whatever. It's a growth process. But there are those that flat, that they can talk and they teach false doctrine and call themselves Christians. All this, they may be Christians, I'm not saying that. But they're running amok, big churches, it's a business. It's a business. Don't be fooled. Why do you think they got all this entertainment factor? I don't need to go to church to be entertained. We got something special for the kids. We got something special for the divorced. We got people who are drug recovery. We got people for this. We got special ministry for everything, including one day a year you can bring your dog in. And we'll bless it. Really? You know, it just trips people's fingers. It's warm and fuzzy. It feels good. There's nothing about the truth. You didn't come here today to be entertained. You came here to earn the truth. You have, and if you already knew it, you have it reinforced. Yeah, that's it. It's clear as a bell. Or if you're thinking about going into reversionism, I don't think I'm going to do that. That verse kind of stopped me in my tracks. Things which not entered into the heart of man. God created this creation we have and all the good stuff in it. The beautiful sights in nature, used man to, some things are real nice that he puts together, and items. This all came from God. It all came from Him. You're impressed with a sunset. You're impressed with this or that. You know, a beautiful plant, whatever it is, or a little ordinary ant going across your sidewalk, trucking along. And all this other stuff. God did it. Now, so imagine what He's going to do the second go-around. And this is the permanent second go-around. Sin's not going to mess that up. And we've got all eternity to enjoy it in our resurrection bodies. And we won't... See, that's one of the things that happens with people. They get a lot of wealth. They get all the goodies they want and everything. They're bored. I think I'll do drugs. Oh, that's brilliant. Now you're going to fill your cells with all this poison. They do it. And sometimes it's because they're rich. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm special. No, you're not. You're just another human being that's about to hit the wall. And you read about him in the news all the time. So-and-so died. He was 39. Just getting started. All the time. The wreath of the prize, commonly known as crown, represents the supreme category of SG3 the Lord bestows on members of the royal family of God. Another thing to understand, you were born into a family, spiritual family. This dispensation is royal family dispensation. We're royalty, folks. So we learn how to act like royalty. All royalty that's raised up in these royal families, they have training grounds for them. They have to go through, they have to be schooled. How to sit. How to talk. How to dress. So they look the part. We're going to look the part. Down here, we have the doctrine, the royal imperatives. An imperative is a directive from God. The royal imperatives. And these imperatives put together at a reasonable level will produce for you the crown. Now, how do you get your crown? What do you have to do? There isn't a fixed number. Well, you have to be on doctrine 20 years. No. I guess you could be on doctrine 20 minutes. If you're positive and God judges each believer. What you have to be is you have to be engaged with the process of growing in grace and knowledge when you check out of this life. Or God checks you out. Or the rapture occurs. If you're doing that, whether you've been doing it for 50 years, like me, approximately, or a lot less, you won't have the time to accumulate the doctrine and the other rewards, but you can still get the crown. You can still pull it. You can pull it off, and that's the elite of the elite of the royal family. We're all royal family, all Christians of this dispensation. The bride of Christ. Christ is royalty, right? He's royalty from two sources. His humanity is a derived royalty because God established the royal house of David. His deity, God is a king. God is royalty. He eternally exists as a king. His son is royalty. The bride of Christ isn't some peasant. She's royalty. And she's made up of people from every nation, every race, over this dispensation, starting with 33 AD and ending with the rapture, hopefully 2021. That's royal family. That's church age crowd. You're in the best dispensation. No, nothing we did. Paul relates to finishing one's phase two course. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I've fought the good fight. Paul had this assurance that when he was about to be martyred in his second Roman imprisonment under Nero, that wonderful person, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Good fight. There's lots of fights and struggles people are in. This is the good fight. I have finished the course. The course is an athletic metaphor for running a course. And if you run a race and you're in competition, there are rules. You can become disqualified. I have kept the faith. That's the content. Faith used as doctrine, Bible doctrine. I've not backed off on any doctrine. In the future rapture event, we know, there is laid up for me the crown or wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. It's a day. It's like on a calendar day. And that's we all must appear. And he says, and he encourages us by saying, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Well, I'm eager for it. There's nothing else I want to do down here. I got my bucket list before the rapture. Not me. That's my list, top and bottom. Whatever I do otherwise, that's going to that may be wonderful for down here, but it will appear as nothing compared to this. Everyone will not receive a crown. So point B. In fact, the prize can be forfeited. Not salvation. Understand what I'm saying. The prize. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Yeah. let's say it's a race, and it's 100-yard dash, or it's something else. All who enter the race are qualified contestants. They all run. But only one receives a prize. Paul's trying to make the point here that really, very few Christians are going to wind up with this prize. The background for this is the Isthmus Games close to Corinth. Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we an imperishable. Therefore, he refers it back to himself, because he was an apostle and a communicator. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I have a goal. I have a goal, a set goal. I box in such a way as not beating the air, throwing punches that don't land. In other words, missing the point doctrinally. I discipline, I buffet my body. Buffet means discipline. I discipline my body. I'm not going to go with all my inclinations and my flesh. I have to say no to a lot of stuff. That's what he's saying here. Things that would be detrimental to this. And make it my slave. Keep it in training. Lest possibly, after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. What Paul is telling the Corinthians is, I can mess this up. I got this goal out here. I got to cross the line. You know, we just read from 2 Timothy where he said, I made it. He's not talking about going to heaven. That's a done deal. He's talking about the crown or the wreath. This is, like I said, this isn't handed out like some charity. Colossians 2:18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, asceticism, impressive overtly, and the worship of angels. I saw a clown on TV years and years ago, religious guy. He prays to his angel. What? And it was one of those big name dummy evangelists. That was the key, is you have to talk to your angel. Knowing that everybody has a guardian angel, you don't talk to your angel. He isn't listening to you. He will not talk back to you. He might be assigned to thump you on the head, though, for being stupid. Guardian angels don't always do nice things for us. Taking his stand on visions he has seen all through history. People are claiming in big terms that they've had visions. We don't need anything. We not the Bible. Visions. In this case, these people make this stuff up. If you're seeing visions of things, I'd question that and ask God to deliver you from this. What's it going to help you? Is it going to help you? Are you going to share it with us? Taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Revelation 3:11, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. He's speaking to a specific church there. In order that no one take your crown. You let some girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, love interest, drag you away from doctrine, that person took your crown. Just a quick illustration. And some of you wouldn't go their way. So they went looking for somebody else. They didn't know what they were doing. They just wanted you and they wanted a relationship, but they didn't want to go to that church. They got their own church and they wanted to drag you over. Could you come over to this one? Same old stuff. It's happened over and over again. That I use is simply one illustration of what happens to some people. They put a relationship, whether it's to family, whether it's male, female, whatever, they put a relationship over their relationship with God. Your first priority is your relationship to God. He comes number one. If those around you start going crazy, they go crazy. If it costs you your marriage, it costs you your marriage. Well, I got to put my marriage above this, so I'm going to go with her. Really? She took your crown. Dummy. You put that first. I didn't say it'd always be easy. Most pressing responsibility. That's what we're about. MPR, most pressing responsibility. What is your most pressing responsibility? Get wisdom. Get doctrine from your pastor teacher. Get yourself in here on your good days, your bad days. I didn't want to get up this morning, you said. I felt this way, that way. My STA had me by the throat. Whatever. Just get over it. Shake it off like you would a bad headache. What you have to do. Don't be down on yourself too much. You know, God is gracious and realizes we struggle with these things. He does. I hate myself. I hate myself too. There's no good thing dwells in me, Paul says. A great apostle. No good thing dwells in me. His sin nature beat him upside the head all the time. But he somehow managed to get up every day, rebound, pray, and do what he had to do. And he didn't always do it perfectly, but he did it good enough. Thank God we don't have to be perfect. God's perfect. Get over this thing, I got to be perfect. Oh, and regarding the past and past mistakes, there's no verse that says you go stew in that stuff. That's unhealthy. Forgetting those things which are behind. An athlete in a situation may make a dumb move, do something. Does he quit? Because he just gave up a grand slam? At a critical point in the game? If the coach doesn't pull him out, he continues to labor on. Who knows? Maybe something will happen and it's turned around many times. So that's just in the human realm. This crown, Stephanos, it's not the Greek word diadem, diadema. That's the word for crown in the Greek. So you know it's a wreath. I know wreaths may not seem much, people put it on their doors at Christmas time. But, I mean, a wreath, they had all kinds. I saw one in a museum. Town's on the tip of my tongue. It doesn't matter. It's in Oklahoma. I went in there, and it was Etruscan. That's the pre-Roman peoples. It was made out of gold. It was woven together. A woman put it on her head. It was beautiful, and it survived all this time. Wow. She didn't, but it did. And they had civic wreaths. If you did something, they had a lot of them for the military. Some of them, they'd win a battle. The soldiers are all dirty. And they take some plants, grass and stuff, weave it all together and put it on the general's head. That was a high honor. It was a crummy, dirty, grassy thing they put on his head. It was all a wreath. But the ones in the New Testament are focused strictly on athletic competition. So we all have a frame of reference for that. Some person has an interest in a certain activity, sacrifices, works out, trains, overcomes injuries, and maybe on that day they'll have it. It'll be just their day, and they'll get their temporal wreath or reward. Names for it, and we'll conclude for today. It's called the crown or wreath of life in James 1:12. These are not separate wreaths. It's all the ways it can be referenced. Wreath of righteousness. Wreath of glory. And the crown or wreath of boasting. Because those of us who get raptured out of here and get this thing, we're going to be high-fiving and celebrating like maniacs. And you know what the rest of the royal family who doesn't get one are going to be doing? They're going to be stepping back in shame. Then they'll get over it and we'll go on. They're going to have a big letdown. Where's that verse? 1 John 2:28. That's where that verse is. step back in shame. The one step back. We'll have to name it as like some kind of a deal. They'll all just step back from Jesus Christ and be in shame. And they're in their resurrection bodies. All right, we'll end it. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us with regard to this subject. In Jesus' name, amen.